Come on, come all, come gather round. Come hear tales both lost and found. Grab yourself a drink with a splash of lime. It's David and Michael's story time.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and binary pals of all ages,
Only binary pals?
Well, non-binary pals. I said non-binary
You
pals.
Meant to say non-binary, but you accidentally said binary.
I did say non-binary. I did.
This is once again one of those instances right off the bat where I can play it again. Like this.
Binary pals of all ages. Well, fuck this. This is a terrible goddamn intro, David. You didn't let me do any of my other stuff.
I won't abide exclusion in our intros.
Here we go again on our road to the only road that we've only ever known, and that road is story time.
There it is.
The one listening to my story in the middle of his workday, well, that's David Miller.
Yeah, and I'll correct you on anything, even if it's bullshit.
And the person with nothing to do in the middle of the workday, well, that's me, Michael Santel.
It just depends on the workday.
Depends on the workday.
Yeah.
Now, I want to appreciate everyone. Thank you for waiting with bated breath. We are going to try our hardest to get more of these out. But
it's, you know, it's that month at the end of the year where everything is just busy all the time.
All the time it feels like we're busy. I haven't even started finding Santa stories, David. I got to find Santa stories holiday episode.
I'm just going to keep rolling on Animorphs. I'm almost done with the notes for the next one, so we should be able to record another one soon. But there's a big asterisk after that word should there.
Oh, because David's on steroids right now, so it's affecting his MLB record right now.
I mean, yeah.
David, promises were made the last time that I heard your beautiful voice, and today promises will be kept. I have a pair of fairy tales for you.
Okay.
The first of which you are going to hear is called The White Snake.
Right, that's the one that we didn't get to last time.
This is the one we did not get to last time.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Are we just jumping into predictions then? Or do we have any other setup to do?
We're jumping into predictions, David. Don't want to say anything else. You'll just correct me anyway. So we're getting right to it today.
Well, in that vein, first of all, I don't think we need another story about white snakes. Okay. We've had story after story showing us these snakes. So the white snake, I think, is going to be... See, the question is, like, is it the main character of the story, or is it, like, the thing that affects the story? So I'm gonna go with the latter. I think the white snake is, like, some kind of, like, magical creature or something that, like, whoever the main character of the story is, are they either trying to find it, or is it, like, an obstacle? I think they're trying to find the white snake that's, like, some, like, princess that's been turned into a snake or something. And then they do it, and then the princess has to marry them because that's the law.
Your brain is absolutely working in the right way. Your initial jump off point was a little incorrect, but boy, are you fucking close, David.
We get there.
Any other predictions that you want to make?
I mean, talking animals, I'm going to throw in just because, I mean, if we've got an animal in the title, I've got to throw it in.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner. This is a talking animal story.
And then I'm going to give my other, like, coin flip prediction. Main character is... poor. I'm going to go with poor instead of king's son. So here we go.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Doing very well, David. You are 2 for 4 so far. You're going to kill it this episode.
Okay, 2 for 4, 50%. We are winning.
The white snake. What happened?
I'm still here.
Oh, I thought... Oh, okay.
You froze a little bit, but we're both still here.
I thought my internet went away. No, everything's fine, everybody. Google reloaded, everything's fine. Okay. Blue Skidoo, we can do. We're jumping into the book, everybody. Here we go. Long ago, there lived a king who was famed for his wisdom through all the land.
Okay.
Nothing was hidden from him, and it seemed as if news of the most secret things were brought to him through the air.
Oh.
But he had a strange custom. Every day after dinner, when the table was cleared and no one else was present, a trusty servant had to bring him one more dish. It was covered, however, and even the servant did not know what was in it, nor did anyone know, for the king never took off the cover to eat until he was quite alone.
Okay.
King has secret information. He knows everything that's going on, but no one knows.
How does he know all that?
But he's got a special dish.
Yeah.
This had gone on for a long time, when one day the servant who took away the dish was overcome with such curiosity he could not help carrying the dish into his room. Oh. When he had carefully locked the door, he lifted up the cover and saw a white snake lying on the dish. But when he saw he could not deny himself the pleasure of tasting it, so he cut off a little bit and put it in his mouth.
Oh.
No sooner had he touched his tongue than he heard strange whisperings of little voices outside his window. He went and listened and noticed that the sparrows who were chattering together and telling one another all kinds of things which they had seen in the fields and the woods. Eating the snake had given him the power to understand the language of the animal.
Okay, that's what I figured, but I'm glad that they just come out right and say it. So now, if the king has this every day, that I'm assuming means it like will wear off after some time. Because otherwise, why would he keep having to eat the white snake, you know? Unless he just like thinks it's tasty.
Great prediction. We'll see if that pays off or not. I don't remember, but we'll see what happens there. That being said, this is the fairy tale version of Animorphs, it feels like, so far.
Well, or Dr. Doolittle.
Or Dr. Doolittle. Now, it so happened that on that very day, the queen lost her most beautiful ring. And suspicion of having stolen it fell upon the trusty servant who was allowed to go everywhere.
I mean, you can't call him the trusty servant if in the same sentence you're accusing him of stealing your ring.
David, they did both of those things. He's the only person who could have gotten a hold of this ring. The king ordered the man to be brought before him and threatened with angry words that unless he could, before the morrow point out the thief, he himself should be looked upon as guilty and executed.
Ooh.
If he can't find the person, it's gonna fall on you, bro. In vain he declared his innocence. He was dismissed with no better answer. In his trouble and fear, he went down into the courtyard and thought about how to help himself out of this trouble. Now, some ducks were sitting together quietly by a brook and taking their rest. And while they were making their feathers smooth with their bills, they were having a confidential conversation together.
Like they would.
Yeah, the way they do. The servants stood by and listened. They were telling one another of all the places where they had been waddling about all morning, and what good food they had found. And one said in a pitiful tone, "Something lies heavy in my tummy.
Oh, no.
As I was eating in haste, I swallowed a ring which lay under the queen's window." The servant at once seized her by the neck, carried her to the kitchen, and said to the cook, "Here is a fine duck. Pray, kill her." "Yes," said the cook, and weighed her in his hand. She has spared no trouble to fatten herself, and has been waiting to be roasted long enough. So he cut off her head, and as she was being dressed for the spit, the queen's ring was found inside of her.
So, okay, so do you can the servant only understand animals, but it doesn't go the other way, like? Can the animals understand the servant? And if so, did when the servant grabbed the duck, could he hear the duck be like, "What the fuck? What the fuck are you doing?" Right?
Yeah. Like, could you hear the duck being like, "I have a husband and all my children."
You go and hand it to the cook and be like, "Kill this duck." And he's like, "Yeah." And the duck is like, "No, please."
I don't know. Yeah, yeah. For the horror of the story, he can absolutely hear them pleading for their lives and is the only person that can do so. The servant could now easily prove his innocence, and the king, to make amends for all wrong, allowed him to ask a favor and promised him the best place in the court that he could wish for. The servant refused everything and only asked for a horse and some money for traveling, as he had mind to see the world and go about a little. I love that these rulers always jump to death and then always have to walk it back afterwards. Yeah. They're always like, "Oh my god, I was so wrong.
I'm so sorry, I was ready to kill you and made you think about that. So I guess you're a prince now?"
Like, yeah, let me just open my vault of treasures, because god forbid anybody knows I fucked up on this one.
I was angry with you and about to kill you yesterday, and today, please marry my daughter.
Yeah, it's very wild swings. It's always like, you are for death, you're part of the family, but you're gonna get fucked by it. When his request was granted, he set out on his way and one day came to a pond where he saw three fishes caught in the reeds and gasping for water. Now, though it is said that fishes are mute, he heard them lamenting that they must perish so miserably, and as he had a kind heart, he got off his horse and put the three prisoners back into the water.
I mean, he had a kind heart except for that fucking duck.
Yeah, except for that fucking duck. They quivered with delight and put their heads and cried to him, "We will remember you and you repay us for saving us." He rode on, and after a while it seemed to him that he heard a voice as the same as his feet. He listened and heard an ant king complain. "Why cannot folks with their clumsy beasts keep off our bodies? The stupid horses with heavy hoofs has been treading down my people without mercy." So the servant turned on the side path, and the ant king cried out to him, "We will remember you! One good turn deserves another!"
Crazy that we're getting an ant king. We never hear about ant kings, you know?
No, we never.
The queen's getting the attention.
We never hear about the ant king. But isn't that part of the patriarchy, David? Isn't
that's
the problem?
This,
we need to
hear
about all of the royal anti-boys that are out there.
And also, like, what a prediction to throw talking animals into. Like, that's all this story is about, is talking. I'd have been so mad if I didn't say it.
it was a fine line, David. You landed on the right side this time. And much like David, I will now call you the Ant King, because much like the Ant King, you hate horses.
Yeah, they fucking suck.
The author also hates this book. Let's find out what happens to this horse. The path led into the wood, and there he saw two old ravens standing by their nest and throwing out the young ones. "Out with you, you idle, good-for-nothing creatures," cried they. "We cannot find food for you any longer. You are big enough, you can provide for yourselves." Those birds are 18 years old, David.
Yeah, man, I get it.
But the poor ravens lay on the ground, flapping their wings and crying, "Oh, what helpless chicks are we! We must shift ourselves, and yet we cannot fly. What can we do but lie here and starve?" So the good young fellow alighted and killed his horse with his sword.
Whoa.
and gave them for food.
Whoa.
And when they came hopping up, satisfied their hunger and cried, "We will remember you. One good turn deserves another."
You know what's fun is that this whole time his horse hasn't said a fucking word.
Yep. And he was like, "Oh, I guess this horse can't talk.
I guess this guy isn't an animal or something. I'll just kill it."
The moment he brought that knife down on that horse, you know the horse, like, as soon as he put the knife in the horse's neck, the horse is like, "You fuck, what are you doing?" And now he had to use his own legs, and when he walked a long way, he came to a large city. There was great noise and crowds in the street, and a man rode up on horseback, crying aloud, "The king's daughter wants a husband, but whoever pursues her hand must perform a hard task, and if he does not succeed, he will forfeit his life." Many had already made their attempt, but in vain. Nevertheless, when the youth saw the king's daughter, he was overcome by her great beauty and forgot all about the danger. Went before the king and declared himself a suitor. That's how it works, David. Once you see her, that's...
If she's too hot, then, you know, you just gotta try.
Is this love? This is love, David. So, he was led out to the sea. That's too far ahead. I apologize. I'm over here.
Uh-oh.
No,
not,
that was too
far
ahead.
We're not going to the sea. That is not where we're going.
We're not going to the sea. I'm at the top of the page. I'm at the other end. Where's his daughter?
He declared himself a suitor.
Okay, I was right. Okay, we're back to the sea. So he was led out to the sea, and a gold ring was thrown into it, in his sight, and... Then the king ordered him to fetch the ring from the bottom of the sea and added, "If you come up again without it, you'll be thrown out again and again until you perish in the waves."
Mm-hmm.
All people grieved for the handsome youth when they went away, leaving him all alone by the sea.
No one wants to watch this.
No one wants to watch him die. I like the idea that everyone's like, "Hooray!" And then they're like, "Oh, he's about to die
now.
Come on, everyone. He's a dead man. Let's get out of here."
Is this the first time the king is given this particular test, right? Haven't we had other suitors? And like,
they've been hard tasks. Who knows?
So, like, every time he just gives them some impossible task, but we don't know.
Some impossible task.
Hmm.
He stood on the shore and considered what he should do when suddenly he saw three fishes.
Yeah, yeah. We've made friends with fish before. Yeah.
And they were the very fishes whose lives had been saved. The one in the middle held a mussel in its mouth, which it laid on the shore at the youth's feet. And when he had taken it up and opened it, there lay the gold ring from the shell. Full of joy, he took it to the king and expected that he would grant him the promise of the reward. But when the proud princess perceived, that he was not her equal in birth, she scorned him and required him first to perform another task.
What? Not her equal in birth? Like a classist kind of thing? Of like, listen, you are not nobility.
You are not nobility. You need to do some more shit to prove that you are worthy, mister.
Yikes. I don't know. That's kind of a red flag, right? She's much less hot now.
I would have walked away at this point. I would have taken that gold
ring. Take that ring and get out of here.
But he's got some other friends. She went down into the garden and strewed with her own hands 10 sacks full of millet seeds on the grass and then said, "Tomorrow morning before the sunrise, these must be picked up and not a single grain missing." The youth sat down in the garden and considered how it might be possible to perform their task, but he could think of nothing, and there he sat sorrowfully awaiting the break of day, when he should be led to death. But as soon, I like that he sat there all fucking night long. He couldn't think of anything. He didn't even try.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? I'm going to stop you here. Like, we're going to keep going, obviously, but like, this is sounding almost exactly like another story we've done, right?
Yes, this is the second time ants have been used to
like,
do
I, like,
tasks.
I know that you haven't told me this story before, but I'm pretty sure, like, almost these exact things have happened in another story you told me.
100%, David, 100%. But as soon as the first rays of the sun shone into the garden, he saw all 10 sacks standing side by side, quite full, and not a single grain was missing. The ant king had come in the night with thousands and thousands of ants, and the grateful creatures had, by great industry, picked all the millet seeds and gathered them into sacks.
Yeah.
Presently, the king's daughter herself came down into the garden and was amazed to see the young man had done the task she had given him. But she could not yet conquer her proud heart and said, "Although he has performed both the tasks, he shall not be my husband until he has brought me an apple from the tree of life."
Oh my God.
Yo, this bitch be a liar. She did not tell the truth.
She just keeps changing the deal.
Yeah, I like her proud heart. Oh, I can't marry a poor person. He's got to do another impossible task. The youth did not know where the tree of life stood, but he set
but
out.
But the birds do.
But would have gone on forever as long as his legs would carry him, though he had no hope of finding it. After he had wandered through three kingdoms, he came one evening to a wood and lay down under a tree to sleep. Then he heard the rustling in the branches and a golden apple fell into his hand. At the same time, three ravens flew down on him, perched themselves upon his knee and said, "We are the three young ravens who you saved from our starving."
It'd be crazy if they were like, "We're totally new ravens. This isn't the same three, you know."
"We're just ravens that like to help. We have grown big and heard that you were seeking the golden apple. We flew over the sea to the end of the world where the tree of life stands and have brought you an apple." Also, where did these birds hear this shit?
Birds know, man.
I guess birds just know. The youth, full of joy, set on out homeward and took the golden apple to the king's beautiful daughter, who had no more excuses left to make. They cut the apple of life in two and ate it together, and when their heart became full of love for him, they lived in an undisputed happiness to a great age.
Interesting.
The end.
It's convenient that she had no more excuses or tests for him because he was out of animal friends.
He was out of animal friends. He could have made more. Also, who knows? I mean, we'll go to lessons.
Lessons.
I was about to say, he's out of friends. If there was a sequel to the story, someone's got to revenge that horse. Yes. That horse has got to have family somewhere.
Well, you say that, but I don't think anyone has to avenge the horse.
I mean, I think other horses would come out of the woodwork, too, if they found out that horse meat was giving willy-nilly to ravens.
Bring
those ravens
them on. This is it. This is the line in the sand.
David, what lessons have you learned from this story?
I mean, one lesson is be nice to people or help. It's like the kind of like the Good Samaritan lesson of like, if you're walking along and you see someone in need, you should probably do something if you can, right? Like, that's a pretty basic
another good, lesson from the story is you should eat snakes. Snakes are delicious. They taste like chicken. They give you special powers. Yeah. Eat a snake.
That snake really was just the beginning. Like, they could have done any, they didn't have to make it a white snake. It could have just been like, I don't know. It could have been, it seems incidental that it was just like the white snake to call the story the white snake.
Agreed. And maybe white snakes, I guess, were like a delicacy or some shit. But like, also,
I imagine white snakes are relatively rare, right? That's probably an albino snake or something.
But he's fucking eating that shit every day. So they obviously have a pit of those white snakes somewhere. Also, the chef has to know who's preparing these white snakes. Other people knew about your secrets. Another lesson. Your secrets are never that secret. Somebody knows your shit.
Maybe he's got a deal with the snakes because he can talk to the snakes.
Yeah, he like talks to like a white snake nursing home. He's like, send me your most feeble and old snakes.
The ones who are just done and want it to be over.
They put him on an iceberg and then go out to the ocean, and then the king picks him up and eats him later on.
Yeah.
A good lesson from here is be good to animals. They might help you out later in life.
Yep. Yep. The lesson of the story, and not one that I think is true, is if she's hot enough, it's okay if she's got a terrible personality.
I understand that lesson. I don't like that lesson.
Exactly what I'm saying.
Like,
that's what the story is saying. It's like, well, she's pretty enough. So, like, put up with the fact that she is classist. Uh-oh. Did we lose?
Right.
I think we lost you. Yep. He's probably yelling.
David, your video's all messed up. David, I can't hear you. David, I can't hear you. Oh. David.
Looks like my... Did I... Okay.
Wait, you're back and I'm you're here. Muted. Wait, what happened?
I'm back. I'm here.
What happened? You were...
I don't know. You froze and then my Zoom just shut down and then started back up again.
Okay. I didn't hear any of your last points. If you'd like to make them again, you can. Or I can listen to the podcast.
I don't remember what
you...
we were saying anymore. We were... Okay. Yeah.
Well, our second tale of the day I have for your earbuds is called The Straw...
Actually, I did have one other comment. It wasn't a lesson, but
okay.
they ate from the tree of life and didn't get eternal life. That's not biblical.
Oh, is that what happens when you eat
it? Well, remember, that was one of the two trees in the garden. They didn't eat from that tree. They ate from the tree of good and evil. Adam and Eve did. But
right.
The other tree, God was like, oh, we have to get them out of the garden. Otherwise, if they eat the tree of life, then they'll... to live forever and be like us. Right?
Well, they technically only ate half of the apple.
Yes. Yeah,
so and it said they lived to a happiness to a great age. So I'm sure they lived to 42 and that was the oldest people on the land.
Yeah.
They didn't die of syphilis. So they were very renowned couple.
Yeah.
Okay. The second promised tale of today was called The Straw, the Coal, and the Bean.
Okay. Yeah. I'm excited. Let's do it. Okay, the straw, the coal, and the bean.
You're gonna roll a die in your mind, and you might just end up on what happens here. But the straw, the coal, and the bean.
So like, my first instinct is like, ooh, another like, oh, it's a poor person. They have to go on a thing, and they have like only three items, and it's some straw, a coal, and a bean, and like they use them for like various little like kind of almost like we just had it, like that animal helped with that thing. It's like, oh, the straw helps
right.
with this thing. But I'm gonna take a more interesting approach and say that the straw. The bean and the what's the other one
the coal
are the characters so they like talk to each other and will be like traveling themselves and use like each other's special abilities to get through whatever obstacles but that also makes me think that they'll just like sacrifice themselves along the way, right? Like, so that's my thought.
Well, David, I'm going to call you the Great Bambino because you just fucking hit a home run, David. Let's see if it goes exactly in your mind, but I believe that's a point on the board for you, David. This is your first shot of the dark point, but boy, is it big and bright.
Yeah.
In a village dwelt a poor old woman who had gathered together a dish of beans and wanted to cook them. So she made a fire on the hearth, and so that it might burn quicker, she lighted it with a handful of straw.
Yep.
When she was emptying the beans into a pan, one dropped out without her observing it, and lay in the ground beside the straw. And soon afterwards, a burning coal from the fire leapt down to the two. Then the straw began and said, "Dear friends, from where do you come from?"
Yeah.
The coal replied, "I fortunately sprang out of the fire. If I had not escaped by main force, my death would have been certain. I should have been burnt to ashes." The bean said, "I too have escaped with my whole skin. But if the old woman had got me into that pan, I could have been made into broth without any mercy, like my comrades."
Yeah.
Oh, it's a communist bean. Yeah, it's a communist bean.
The beans all work for the betterment of the workers.
They only care about the betterment of the beans. And would a better fate have fallen to you, to my lot, said the straw? The old woman had destroyed all of my brethren in a fire and smoke, and seized 60 of them at once and took their lives. I luckily slipped through their fingers.
Oh my God.
David, it's nice that we can't hear inanimate objects talking, because it would just be
we learned that as kids with the Brave Little Toaster.
That's true, but you never burn the Brave, oh, I guess they smash him in that smash yard.
Yeah.
That's what I call junkyards. I call them smash yards. Always wanted to go to a smash yard. "But what do we do now?" said the coal. "I think," answered the bean, that as we have fortunately escaped death, we should keep together like good companions, and at least a new misfortune should overtake us here. We should go away together to a foreign country.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're
what
gonna
should
go,
we do now? Let's get the fuck out of here.
They're going to go to the foreign country of outside.
I knew it wasn't going to happen, but I thought for a moment it'd be really funny if they were like, "Okay, we did it. What do we do now?" And someone was like, "Well, because we just narrowly escaped death, let's like have an orgy."
Yeah. I mean, that coal is going to heat things up pretty good.
You never know.
That doesn't happen, but let's see. But let's see if they do make the beast of two backs, if you will.
Oh boy.
The proposition pleased the two others, and they set on their way in company. Soon, however, they came to a little brook, and as there was no bridge or footplank, they did not know how they were to get over.
Straw got this one covered.
The straw hit on a good idea and said, "I will lay myself straight across, and then you can walk over as a bridge." The straw, therefore, stretched itself from one bank to another, and the coal, who was in an impetuous disposition, tripped quite boldly on the newly built bridge. But when she reached the middle, oh, the coal's a girl. When she reached the middle and heard the wadding rushing beneath her, she was, after all, afraid and stood still and ventured no further. The straw, however, began to burn, broke into two pieces, and fell into the stream.
The coal
slipped her, hissed when she had gone into the water, and breathed her last breath. The bean, who had prudently stayed behind on the shore, could not but laugh at the event and was unable to stop, and laughed so heartily that she burst. It would have been all over for her. Likewise, if by good fortune, a tailor who was traveling in search of work had not sat down to rest by the brook. As he had compassionate heart, he pulled out his needle and thread and sewed her together. The bean thanked him most pertinently, but as the tailor used black thread, all bean scents have had a black seam. The end. David, this was the creation myth of why beans look like they do.
I love that.
Yep, that's why beans look the way they do. See, you thought it had something to do with science and growing. Nope. And even though it was stitched up with a threaded needle, when this mother bean went on to have many bean children, David, in fact, some say she procreated all of the beans into
all
the world.
All beans have since come from her.
They also chose to have thread inside of them for some reason.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's how genetics work.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, that's why so many babies have tattoos.
That's right. Let's go to lessons.
Lessons.
Okay. All right.
Listen, I'm just going to say it. I feel that this lesson works in every scenario. Don't all jump on one person's back to get across a river.
That's
it
pretty good.
Doesn't work the way you want it to.
Yeah, yeah. I do have a lesson from that same part of the story, which was you got to keep moving.
Yes, right? Got to keep moving.
It's the reason why it all fell apart was because the coal got scared and just sat there in the middle of the bridge. Can't do that.
Yeah, you got to commit. You got to commit. You got to keep going. Got to keep those feet a moving.
Mm-hmm. Wait your turn.
The
bean was like waiting for the coal to get across before they started, and because they did, they survived, right?
That's a really good lesson. I would also say that a lesson I take away is regardless of how you move about in the world, humans just genocide everything. We kill all of the straw. We kill all of the coal. No matter what you do, there is going to be adverse consequences to your actions. Just be okay with that.
If you find yourself like narrowly escaping a near-death experience and have like a new zest for life, fuck about it. They should have.
Well,
they should have. Turns out it was still their last day, so like they should have fucked about it.
It was their last day. Well, technically, they did get fucked. If that makes any feel better, the coal did break that apart.
They fucked themselves. Is what they did.
They did fuck themselves. That's actually a good. That's a pretty good lesson. Don't fuck yourselves on a journey. Let other people do that.
Which does bring me to my other lesson, which was sometimes things happen that are so tragic you can't help but just laugh about it.
Yeah, I listen, she didn't.
I'm going to take the interpretation that this bean wasn't sadistic. It was like such a crazy event that like the only response she could find herself having was to laugh at the absurdity of the moment.
All of her tribe, of the bean tribe, were killed in that soup. She had only seen death all day. At her good fortune of not being drowned in the river, she just had to giggle. Sometimes you got to laugh at the misfortunes of life.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a lesson. I have a question.
Sure.
What the fuck is that Taylor's deal? Like, he goes and he sits down next to a river and he sees, what, a bursted bean?
Yeah, I think of like a lima bean, you know, when you do that weird experiment and you take the skin off of it. Yeah, I think that's what happened.
I want to play 20 questions with that guy because I don't know what I don't understand his... I don't get him.
Yeah. And did he eat some sort of white snake that now he understands bean language? Like, how did he know these things
were... Maybe it's just they can be understood. Like, maybe he didn't hear the bean when the bean thanked him profusely.
Yeah, but then did the old lady hear all the beans
That's
just,
my
like,
thought. Maybe
screaming
they were,
for mercy?
Maybe either they were whispering, or she is hard of hearing, or she was cooking, and so it was sizzling and stuff so loud that she didn't hear them.
She couldn't hear their tiny screams over the cooking of delicious things. Well, I mean, I guess maybe that's the case, but, you know, just got to watch out for old ladies. They don't give a shit. They just got to do their thing.
Yeah, but this was fun. I'm glad that we learned something.
Yeah, we finally had a creation myth of how beans got little buttholes on the side of them.
Yeah, like that.
I thought it was God, but it turned out it was a tailor, and then they reproduced that way.
Well, was the tailor actually God?
Ooh, a blind tailor, David. He doesn't know.
He was blind?
Well, no, I just mean like, you know, like the blind watchman. He like made a watch and then like left it in the ocean and that's creation. I don't know. I don't know those allegories for what creation is.
Sure.
Well, David, our audience deserves more, but they're not getting it today.
That's all I have.
I do have another story, but I feel like it will... pair better with the next tale I am going to tell you.
And that's the editorial leeway we give you here on Storytime.
Well, let's pull back the curtain. David's got a fucking date at 5 o'clock, and I don't know how much longer the second story is.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
I don't think it's gonna be like another hour, but like you gotta get time. You gotta get your pits dry. You gotta put
I gotta dry my pits. After these two stories, I gotta drive each one separately.
Now, we didn't get any emails, but I got to do a live comedy show, and then someone after the show told me how much they liked the show.
Uh-huh.
We kept talking.
They like this show?
And then they asked me, is there anything that they could they support and listen more? And I said, you should listen to my podcast. Now, if that young man who went to, he's now flown to Miami, he's going to be on a boat right now. He works in the ocean with people.
Okay.
Leave it that vague.
I don't want to know anything else about it.
His internet working in the bar. So he took a screenshot of our podcast. So I don't know if he's listening or not. But if he is listening, I hope you're doing well on the high seas. Stay safe. I'm so glad you're listening to us. I'm going to build this podcast, David, one listener at a time, man. So this goes out to that nice young man I met in the bar. You're 25 and your dreams are ahead of you. Go reach those dreams, young man. And thanks for listening to Storytime.
Great.
And thank all of you for listening to Storytime. David's got more animorphs.
We'll be back with that next time. Yep.
I'm going to go look for some ho-ho-hos. David,
I don't know what that means.
Santa Claus stories. Ho-ho-hos.
Oh, that's what the baby
I was about to say,
what do you mean? I'm the one with a date.
Don't tell. You don't know if she's a ho-ho-ho. What are you saying about her?
I would never call her that, no. But I mean, behind unless her she back, wanted me to. That's up to
unless, if she wants it, that's okay. Well, as David gets ready for his ho-ho-hos, I'm going to go get ready for my whoa-whoa-whos. I don't know what I'm going to do the rest of the day. I'll go find something to do.
Great.
Thank you all for joining us for this little tiny episode. More episodes are coming. Just stay with us, and we'll see you all next time.
Okay, bye. Oh, wait. Well, you were going to say something.
I have to say your name. He's been David Miller.
And I'm not Michael Santel.
See, he's got Dane on his brain. He's not even in the mood right now.
You're making a way bigger deal about this than I am.
You're making a bigger deal about this. Okay, we'll see you all next time. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
That's our show. Thanks for coming round. Don't be sad. No need to frown. We'll have more stories. Don't throw a fit. Goodbye, one and all, and we'll see you in a bit.
Man, I almost stopped the call again instead of hitting stop on my recording. I keep doing that.